Lord, indeed, continue to take our hands and lead and guide us home. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, your holy presence in our lives. Speak to us as we listen and respond to your preached word. In Christ's name, amen. Let me call your attention to our scriptorial passage for this morning from Genesis, the 37th chapter, verses 5 through 11. Listen to these words. Joseph had a dream. When he told his brothers, they hated him even more. He said, "Listen to this dream I had. We were all out in the field gathering bundles of wheat, and all of a sudden my bundle stood up and your bundle circled around it and bowed down to mine." His brothers said, "So, you're going to rule over us and you're going to boss us around?" And they hated him more than ever because of his dreams and the way he talked. He had another dream, and he told this one also to his brothers. "I dreamed another dream. The sun and the moon and the 11 stars bowed down to me." When he had told this to his father and brothers, his father reprimanded him. What's with all of this dreaming? Am I and your mother and your brothers all supposed to bow down to you? Now his brothers were really jealous, but his father brooded over the whole business. The word of God for the people of God, thanks be to God. I want to share with you the title of my sermon for this morning. Here comes the dreamer. Here comes the dreamer. Look to your neighbor and say the title with me. Here comes the dreamer. Precious Lord, take my hand. A song almost now, 50 years ago, on April 1968, at Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia. During the last funeral service held in honor of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. by the legendary Mahalia Jackson. It is a song that reminds us that indeed we need the hand of the Lord to lead and guide us still. In fact, if you look closely in this passage of scripture, you'll see how the Bible shares with us as it relates to a young man by the name of Joseph, who indeed the Lord's hand would be upon him. Let me remind you that indeed God wants to bless his people. And so throughout this passage of scripture, you'll see even though there were some difficult moments, yet the hand of the Lord was on Joseph. Starts in Genesis, the 39th chapter in the second verse, it gives us the interpretation that Joseph indeed is successful because the hand of the Lord is upon him. That will play out throughout the book of Genesis. Dreams are important. And so I want to ask you the first bullet point question is this question. Have you ever experienced the heartbreak of a shattered dream? Of a shattered dream. Perhaps when you was a child or even as an adolescent and later on in your adult life, dreams are extremely important. Aspirations and goals that we set, and some dreams are fulfilled and others are not. But yet we all seek the hand of God to be upon us. On Friday night, a couple days ago, we had several youth and adults who had the privilege to go to Winter Jam in Jacksonville, Florida. It was there that they indeed, here's a picture of them, right from our church, they were able to encounter Christ in a more holistic way as it relates to their peers. I talked to one of our youth who's a junior in high school and asked him as it relates to his goals and his aspirations for his future. And I was indeed pleased and impressed. The young man who comes to the 9:30 service said to me, "I'm an honor roll student, and I seek to be a lawyer. And if academics doesn't give me the type of scholarship that you need to go on to college and then enter into law school, then I'm going to join the Navy and I'm going to serve our country. And I'm going to have Uncle Sam to pay for me to go to law school. I mean, isn't that good? He has a plan A and a plan B. I told him to hold on to your dreams. There's going to be some bumps and bruises along the way. There's going to be some moments of difficulties along the way, but continue to persevere. And you could be a good lawyer. I hope I don't need you. But that's good to know that young people have dreams and aspirations and want to accomplish things and have a plan A and a plan B. Just a junior in high school and already he's looking down the road. It's a movie coming out and we're going to invite you to come and be a part of our membership when we go to the movie. You'll hear more about it. It's called If I Can Only Imagine, about a young man who has a dream and even his own father tried to kill those dreams, but he was persistent, and he was trusting the hand of God. Well, if you look closely in this passage of Scripture, you'll see that indeed, even though Joseph's dreams seem as though they wouldn't be fulfilled, the hand of the Lord was upon him. What are the characteristics of dreamers? Ask your neighbor that question. What are the characteristics of dreamers? The characteristics. Now I'm going to share some information with you now because these dreamers refuse to allow people to rain on their dreams, to rain on their parade. Well, number one, dreamers have the ability to see beyond what is to what can be. Let me take a quick survey. How many of you have a cell phone with you? Yeah. Alexander Graham Bell created not the cell phone, but the telephone. But his father-in-law said to him, no one wants to play with that toy. And here we are now in 2018 with cell phones that we can't seem to get rid of. They're close to us. The radio. The radio came along, and it was Sir Lord Calvin. Sir Lord Calvin said in response to the invention of the radio, nobody's going to sit still to listen to that. But if you have an XM radio in your car, you can just turn it on and hear what's going on around the world. The computer came along, and it was the British astronaut who said, nobody is going to be dealing with buttons. They got an encyclopedia. What do they need a computer for? And look at us now. We can get on the World Wide Web by touch of our fingers. Dreamers have the ability to see beyond what is to what can be. Well, the next point is this, as it relates to the characteristics of a dreamer. Dreamers are faithful when tested. It was in 1901 when the Mercedes came along, and they said, nobody is going to be interested in driving a car. And so let me ask you a question. When you got up this morning, you took care of your personal items, you decided to come to church, how many of you came on horseback? Came in an automobile. Well, let's go on and deal with the Wright brothers, Wilbur and Orville. They came along, those two brothers, and they had the idea and the imagination to somehow create a plane and let that plane fly. Oh, yes, I must tell you that indeed their first attempt failed. They worked a little bit more. Next attempt failed. But they were persistent and kept on working. And next thing you know, five witnesses noticed them flying in the sky. And we've been flying the friendliest skies ever since. There's another characteristic of a dreamer. Dreamers dream to make a difference. They dream to make a difference, not only in their lives, but in the lives of others. Think for a moment. And maybe some of you were there. August 28, 1963, at the Lincoln Memorial, a young preacher was the last speaker. His message was only 17 minutes, and he shared with the world that was broadcast on three major networks, "I Have a Dream." And his dream was for equality and social justice. But if you look at Dr. King's speech, you'll see that it was tailored by citing scripture. His dream was a dream that God had given him. Oh, that dream is not fulfilled today, but yet it has come a long ways. And thanks be to God that he had a dream. In fact, if you read Proverbs, the 29th chapter and 18th verse, you'll read these words. If people can't see what God is doing, they'll stumble all over themselves. You know, some people just stumbling along. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are more what? Blessed. Don't you want to be blessed? Well, get with what God is doing and get involved with what God is doing, and indeed, you will be blessed. Look at the life of Joseph. Who is Joseph? I'm glad you asked. Joseph is one who had a coat that was beautiful, a coat of many colors. Joseph, as the Bible reveals in Genesis, the 37th chapter, starting with chapter 37, and it carries out all the way throughout the book of Genesis, 13 chapters, chronicles his life. And it's tailor-made just for him. Oh, he would indeed experience hardship. He would experience some woundedness. He would experience some difficulties. But yet he would recover. And ultimately, it's a story about hope. Here's Joseph. Joseph is the favorite son of his father. Now, his father had numerous of wives. Don't ask me how he was able to do it. I don't want to know. But his favorite wife had a son for him in his older years. And he named that son Joseph. Now, he had other sons indeed. And we know about those sons because if you look at biblical history and read about the 12 tribes of Israel, their names are listed there, all 12 of them. But Joseph comes on the scene, and here is Joseph. Jacob's favorite son. He loved him so much that he gave him a coat of many colors. Now, I don't know your family makeup and background. Some people have large family members and have siblings and have a lot of number of siblings, but here you have sibling rivalry. Why? Because the youngest child sometimes can get away with murder. The youngest child can receive more than all the other children that preceded them. The youngest child, instead of getting a bicycle like all the other kids, when they come along, they'll get a car. You can imagine these brothers were upset because indeed they knew it. Father didn't try and hide it, that Joseph was the favorite one. So the Bible shares, to make a long story short, we read in Genesis chapter 38, we read how these brothers created a plan to have their brother killed, Joseph. They got tired of him and all these dreams, and we're going to bow down to him, we're going to worship him, he's going to be over us. He got to be out of his mind. You can imagine that they were frustrated, they were furious. Who is he to think he has the audacity to say that he's going to rule over us? What is this, his father asks, with all of these dreams? Well, in chapter 38, the boys decided that he's out in the field. He's checking up on us. He's a tattletale. He's going to go back and share what happens here in the field. He's our Father's favorite child. He's 17 years old. The Bible gives us his age. He has a lot of immaturity. And we can understand that. We've been there as well. He's telling them all about his dreams. So they decided that we're going to kill him. But his brother Reuben steps up and says, no, 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 he's blood. Let's not kill him. Let's put him in a pit. They strip that coat off him. They place him in a pit. They take that coat. They kill a goat. And the blood of the goat, they made sure that they took that coat and put it all, the blood could be all around that coat, and they take it back to their father, Jacob. And they ask the question, is this your son's coat? The Bible says that Jacob was in grief. He was grief-stricken. He was in bereavement. They tried to console him. No one could console him, because he assumed his son Joseph was dead. The Bible tells us that indeed they went back to that pit. They had to come up with a plan, another plan to kind of cover up, because dad was now in bereavement and grief and no one could console him. You know what they decided to do? A caravan was heading to Egypt, the place that Joseph dreamed that indeed he would be a ruler. You see how God's hand was on him? God had to get him to Egypt. They sold their brother into slavery. He's a slave now. He's with the caravan. He's in Egypt now. But then look closely at that 39th verse in the 39th chapter in the second verse, and you'll see that Joseph was successful because the hand of the Lord was on him. The Bible says that the king, he gravitated towards Joseph, so much so he made Joseph a chief servant. Here's Joseph, the dreamer, a chief servant in the king's palace. Joseph grew up right there in the king's house until adulthood. The Bible says he was a very strong and attractive man, so much so the king's wife wanted him. Joseph would have nothing to do with it, and she tried her advanced on him, and the Bible says Joseph left his clothes right there, and he left. She picked up those clothes, and she told the servants that Joseph tried to take advantage of her, and then when her husband came, the king, she told him, and he had Joseph put in a dungeon. The dreamer. While in that dungeon, Joseph, he encountered some other prisoners, and they shared as they relate to their dreams, and they wanted someone to interpret dreams. And it is Joseph who says, you just look at it. Joseph says to them, God interprets dreams. And it was through God that Joseph moved and was able to interpret their dreams. And he told them exactly what was going to happen to them. And the only request he made was, when you get out of this dungeon, remember me. Well, indeed, they got out of the dungeon. The baker, he was in the king's palace. And ultimately, the king had him killed, as Joseph told him it would happen. And then the other servant was able to stay there and be with the king, and the king, he had a dream that he couldn't interpret, and he asked his wise men to help him. They couldn't interpret the dream. But then he remembered there's one in the dungeon by the name of Joseph. Look how God's hand is moving. They summons Joseph to come. He interprets the king's dream. And right there, the Bible says the king gave him his reign and made him the second ruler over Egypt. Joseph had the hands of the Lord on him. And isn't it good to know if the hands of the Lord is on you, it doesn't matter what your haters will do. God will be with you. Look at Joseph now. Joseph sees a caravan coming, and he noticed that those are his brothers, and he disguised himself. And he had a conversation with them, and he accused them of being spies, and he wanted to know why they were now in Egypt, where severe famine had come into the land, and they were in need. And it was Joseph. It was Joseph who asked them about their youngest brother, and they shared that they would go back and get Benjamin. And to make a long story short, Joseph's brothers came with Benjamin. The Bible says, in a solemn moment, Joseph cried. He cried. He could have easily had them killed at that point. But thanks be to God, the hands of the Lord was on him. And so then the Bible says he made sure they had enough wheat and enough money in their sacks. And then in a very strange way, we see that Joseph revealed himself to them. And they were astonished. Because here's Joseph, the one we put in the pit, the one we had taken his coat of many colors and told our father that he was dead, he was killed by a goat, is now alive. You could imagine right then, they thought he was going to get even. But no, I love the way that David Smith, the philosopher, shares as it relates to 50-20 vision. What is 50-20 vision? 50-20 vision is this. Professor David Smith called this 50-20 vision. Genesis, the 50th chapter and the 20th verse. The vision is this. What the world and human scheme plans as an evil act, self-serving act, God used as good, life-preserving act. In other words, in the King James translation, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. God's hand was upon Joseph, and Joseph was able to share those words with his brothers. What you meant for evil, God meant for good in order to save many people. God had to get him to Egypt. God fulfilled his dream. He was now ruler in Egypt. How many of you know God will make a way out of no way? And God will be with us if the hands of the Lord is upon us. What we need now in this world is more dreamers. People who will dream positive dreams and aspirations and to encourage others. Let me close by sharing these words with you. From Coretta Scott King's autobiography, My Life with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., her husband. She said that Dr. King had his dark moments, had his moments of difficulties, had his stumbling blocks along the way, but he would always recite this hymn by John Newton. There is a balm in Gilead to help the sin sick soul. There's a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. Sometimes I feel discouraged and think my work is in vain, but then the Holy Spirit revived my soul again. There is a balm. Don't you remember the words of Jeremiah? Jeremiah asked that question, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Well, the Old Testament and the New Testament reminds us that that balm plant is a healing plant. And the healer in the New Testament is our Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Yes, there's a balm in Gilead. It is Jesus Christ, our Lord. And he's willing to heal us. In Jesus' name, amen.